I was Paul's pastor for almost 23 years, about 22 and a half years, I guess, in all. And just the other day, I was up at the church with my wife. It was after the passing of Paul. And I went into the sanctuary and through those doors, and I was struck by the thought that the first pew on the left at the back, the one who sat there on a regular basis, would never, in this life, ever sit there again. His hymnal is there, and at the time of COVID and so on, we had decided that we would, when we started back with our services, that everyone could have their own hymnal, put a sticker on it with their name on it, so that they would use their own hymnal each time. And Paul's hymnal is there with his name on it, right in that hymn book rack at that seat. And as I reflected on that, I thought about immediately a scripture that's found in the Old Testament. My mind just went immediately to it. And I want to speak upon that today. It's 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18. It's the words of a friend to a friend, Jonathan, who was very close with David, later to become the king. And this is what he said. 1 Samuel 20, verse 18. Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And I thought, in reflecting on that verse, how true this is of Paul Wellwood. Someone once said, live so as to be missed. And our friend and loved one will certainly be missed by so many, many people. But as we think of this text, it's actually applicable to all of us. Because one day, you too and I will draw our last breath. We will leave this earth and we will enter upon the great eternity. One day, therefore, your seat will be empty as a result of your passing. And soon this word, thou shalt be missed, will be true of you and of me. The place that knows us today, you see, will know us no more again forever. As has already been mentioned here today, life is short. But as I consider this simple text today with you, I'm thinking that Paul's seat will be empty, and he will indeed be missed in a couple of different ways. His seat will be empty and he will be missed in the home. No doubt Paul had a favourite armchair. I think I know which one it was. I know he liked to sit at his computer chair as well. He also had a place where he usually sat at the kitchen table to eat his meals. And I know, as has also been mentioned today, that he liked to drive. Paul really liked driving. He racked up the miles visiting schools and even going on vacation to the Thousand Islands region that he talked about a lot to me. He actually drove a long way also to come to church. He never seemed to mind. So much time spent in that driver's seat of his various vehicles. He will never sit in any of those seats again. Now his seat is empty. And of course, this is a painful thought, obviously. It's hard to come to terms with something like that. When a family member is removed by the hand of death, Paul, you don't need me to tell you, but I'll mention it again, was a good husband and father and grandfather and friend and church member. He was a man who lived to be missed, and he will be missed. He will be missed at his home, for his seat will be empty. And that's an experience that lies ahead for folks who know you, because soon you will be missing from your earthly home, and your seat will be empty. Quite a number of verses in the Bible refer to death. Not to be morbid, but the fact of the matter is that we, in the midst of life, are in death. And, for example, The Bible talks about how that we are like water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. The Bible says that we know not the day of our death. In fact, that's in the very passage here in 1 Samuel 20, in verse 3, David said, "As thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, "It is appointed unto men once to die." Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." The psalmist said that our days are normally 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80, that's what Paul was. "Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Life is short and we will all one day leave an empty seat behind. There was a great preacher in London called C.H. Spurgeon, and he talked about one occasion when, before he had left the shores of England for 2 days, he received the grievous news that 2 people out of the membership of his church had been called home to heaven in one day. He said of a sister, the wife of an earnest and well-beloved deacon, it must be said, her place is empty. And of a brother who had been her friend and mine, the same expression must be employed. Our sympathies must now flow out to a bereaved husband and also to a widow, in whose hearts there are places sorrowfully emptied, and in whose homes there will be an empty chair and an empty couch, which will force from their eyes rivers of tears whenever they look upon them. And so our brother Paul will be missed, and his seat will be empty in the home. But Paul's seat will be empty, it already is, and he will be missed, and he already is, in the house of God. I refer, of course, to the church, the building where we meet for worship. Paul Wellwood was a most faithful and loyal member and attendee of our congregation in Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church. He was a charter member, a foundation member of the fledgling work back in 1998. That is when I first met him. At that time, the Reverend John Greer, who ministered in Malvern, Pennsylvania, held some exploratory meetings in the valley to gauge if there was any interest in forming a congregation under our denominational banner. Paul, as I understand it, heard of this over the radio, and he was interested, and he attended the very first official Free Presbyterian Church service in the Ramada Inn Motel on Route 145 and 22 in Allentown. And I have a photograph of that occasion, and Paul is all the way on the left. That's when I met him. Just a few weeks later, despite the fact that I preached that day, the folks that were there, 9 of them, including Paul, sent a written request to me in Scotland, where I was ministering, asking if I would come to the US and be the pioneer minister of that start-up church. I had been praying much about it, and I felt I should answer in the affirmative. And so after some months having applied for my immigration, I came with my wife and our 2 daughters to this country to preach God's word. So in a sense, it's Paul's fault. It's Paul's fault that I am here. Despite my preaching and everything else, Paul stayed with us and endured my ministry for over 22 years. He was so faithful. I said that in his home just the last time I visited. The one thing, I said it to him, the one thing that I would think of when I thought of Paul was faithfulness and loyalty. Great qualities. He was so faithful. He was an ever-present at the preaching services. He will be missed. He was faithful at the prayer services. Paul loved the prayer meeting. Midweek. And before Sunday night worship. I shall miss his prayers. they were something special, especially in recent times. He also enjoyed our potluck suppers and our church picnics. He would bring something special that Stephanie had made, and those wonderful Danish pastries from Applegate Bakery up here, the best I ever ate in my entire life. And they didn't pay me to say that. Paul was faithful. I shall miss him. We're all going to miss him, because his seat is now empty. Again, referring to those two church members of his that Spurgeon talked about, he said, "It's our firm hope and confident belief that in these cases, the loss of the house of God below is the gain of the house of God above. They fill other and better places, and even those who love them best and miss them most would not wish to call them back again. For Jesus wills that his own should be with him where he is, and we cannot deny that he has a right to have them. Do not their eyes behold the King in his beauty? Would we deprive them of the vision? May the thought of the bliss of the departed yield solace to the surviving, and may divine consolations be richly given by the Holy Spirit in the hour of painful bereavement." And this is true also of our departed brother. I look here at Paul's remains, and I realize that the man who lived in this house of clay is no longer here. The person who lived in this bodily frame is somewhere. And I believe I know where he is, because he was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior to take him to heaven. And he died in the full hope that when he passed away, he would go there to be with Christ. And he would not want to come back here. Of course, we would want him to come back. Of course, we would love to have him here in full health. We would love him to be here in the full vigor of life as he was years ago. We would not want to see him in the last few days suffering the ravages of cancer. But we would love him to be here in full health, enjoying his company. But that's not God's way. He's run his race. He has finished his course. He's kept the faith. And right now he's in a place where the Bible says it is far better. And so there is one place where we can confidently say that Paul Wellwood will not be missed and his seat will not be empty. Yes, it's true of his home. Yes, it's true of the house of God. But it's not true of heaven. You see, on this earth, there's a sad cry, he or she should be here. How deeply our hearts become grieved because of the absence of a dear one like Paul and the sight of that empty seat. And yes, we do need to pray for the comfort of God and the help of heaven for Stephanie and for his sons and daughter and for the grandchildren, the spouses, the whole family, the friends. We need the Lord's comfort. And not just today, but in the future. Because when all the hubbub dies down and the people coming and going and all the activity all ends, then reality sets in. And we really need then the help of friends and loved ones to gather around. But we also need, most of all, the help of the Lord. Because it is difficult to go back into a home after a funeral, and even long after that, and see that chair where a loved one sat, and the bed where he slept, and the desk where he worked, vacant and silent. He will be missed at home. As I mentioned, there'll be an empty seat at our church in every service. I felt it there on Sunday. As I looked out at our communion service on Sunday night, I could see Paul back there in my mind's eye, sitting there enjoying the worship. There will be an empty seat at that back seat, at that back pew at the Lord's Supper from now on. That table he attended so faithfully. There will always be that empty seat at our prayer meetings. However, though these seats here on earth may be empty, there's a seat today in heaven that is filled. And there are a number of places in Scripture where it speaks in this fashion of being seated or being present in heaven. It talks about the Lord Jesus himself being seated on the right hand of the Father on high. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 11 is a wonderful mention of those who will come, many of them it says, from the east and the west. And it says this, and they shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 8 verse 11. Many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, if we're going to sit down with people and their names are mentioned, you think of them, they're a family. The grandfather, Abraham. The father, Isaac. The grandson, Jacob. That's a family in heaven. And the Lord Jesus would never have said, we'll sit down with them if we were going to be there and not know who they were. So we will know one another in heaven. People often ask me that as a pastor. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Of course we will know them. We'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and we're not going to wonder who they are. We'll know who they are. Then shall we know, even as also we are known here. As was read a few minutes ago. We also find in Revelation chapter 3 a wonderful promise concerning the overcomer. This is the person of faith. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, Jesus said, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. See, there's a seat in heaven. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. It also says in another place in Luke chapter 12 and in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. He will make them to sit down to meat. Scripture speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb where we will be seated and Jesus will come and serve us. You know, Paul fully expected to go there when he died. He said to me the Thursday before that Monday when he passed, he said, it's going to be wonderful to be with my people. It's going to be wonderful to be with my people. He was looking forward to going to heaven. He fully expected to go to heaven when he died. There was no doubt about it in his mind. And let me tell you, it was not because he was a church member. It's not because he was a member of my church or any other church. It's not because he was baptized or confirmed or took communion. It's not because he was kind and generous and selfless and a good friend. And it's not because of his good life or giving to charitable causes, etc. It's simply because one day, some years ago, he placed all of his trust and faith in the work that was done for him at Calvary's cross by his Savior. Paul believed he was saved by the shedding of Christ's blood for his sins. I'll tell you this, Paul loved to talk about the blood of Christ. He often did. And he was referring to the fact that it was shed for our sins, that he was punished for our sins. And therefore that hymn that the young people sang here was really his testimony. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. Paul Wellwood believed the truth of the gospel. Not that there are many ways to heaven, but that there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul believed the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul believed that by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Faith is not something that you conjure up yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the only work that Paul ever boasted in was Christ's work. He often referred to it. I heard him more than once tear up in our prayer meetings, and others that were there can testify to it as well, praying that others would receive that message too. It was his burden for family members and friends. Perhaps some of you that are here today were on his prayer list, because he wanted you too to come to know his Savior and Lord by simple faith. He wanted others to take up their seats in heaven along with him when it comes that time. And there's no sadness in glory, but no doubt there will be those who were invited to come to Christ and take up a seat in heaven who will not be there. Someone once said, there are going to be some surprises in heaven. I'm going to be surprised at those who are there who I didn't think would be there. I'm going to be surprised at those who are not there who I thought would be there. And the biggest surprise of all is that I will be there, because I am unworthy. And Paul felt that, but he knew that all his worthiness was in Christ. In the book of Revelation, there's mention made of the tribes of Israel. This is a heavenly scene. But it's really remarkable to me that there's one name among those names, Naphtali and Judah and so on, there's one name that's not there. It's the name of Dan. The tribe of Dan is not there. The circle is broken. Could there be an empty chair in the family circle and a vacant seat which should have been occupied by a loved one who would not come to Christ? Now, of course, ultimately we believe in the sovereignty of God, and ultimately there will be no empty seats in heaven. That is for sure. Someone will occupy each seat in glory. But our Lord Jesus spoke about those who refused his mercy. And he said that their place would be taken from them and given to others. Their places in the kingdom would be taken by others who would bring forth the fruits. Because you see, his house will be filled. But in closing, let me ask you today, my friend, will you be there? Do you have a seat reserved for you in the Father's house of many mansions? There's a portion in Luke's Gospel where the Lord Jesus referred to the Gospel Supper. And he said there in verse 23 of Luke 14, that the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. There are some whose seats would be taken by others. Someone observed, our places will be empty soon. We shall be missed from our accustomed pews in the house of prayer. Let the seats which have been just vacated remind us of this, and silently call to our remembrance the precept, be ye also ready. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate.
and your cry be just too late, be in time. That would be Paul's message to each of us today. Come and welcome to Jesus.